study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we're going to consider today verses 11 to 14. That's Exodus, chapter 32, verses 11 to 14. As you find your place, let me call your attention to the fact that the last 22 chapters of the book of Exodus, beginning with chapter 19 and running through chapter 40, record for us the theological period in Israel's history. Israel is encamped around Mount Sinai, and these chapters record about 9.5 months of their history. In chapter 19, there is recorded the revelation of the Lord. In chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law. And in chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way. Now that means the designation of the way of approach unto a holy God. 16 chapters are devoted to this great theme, which indicates its importance. The tabernacle with its furnishings and its priesthood dominate these chapters. We may also break up chapters 25 to 40 further as follows. Chapters 25 to 31, we have recorded for us the gracious provision for Israel in the tabernacle, the way of approach to God, and the priesthood. In chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel, Israel's sin, and Moses' supplication on their behalf. And then chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel, the actual erection of the tabernacle. Chapter 30 in the book of Exodus is the great worship chapter. It teaches where Israel was to worship, who could of Israel come to worship, and how Israel was to worship. In chapter 31, we are given instructions with regarding the builders of the tabernacle, and then the sign of the Sabbath God made with the nation Israel. Now in chapter 32, one of the most stirring chapters in all the Word of God, there are five things recorded for us. In verses 1 to 6, we have a record of Israel's sin, where we understand Israel's revocation of the Lord. In verses 7 to 10, the Lord's condemnation of Israel. In verses 11 to 14, Moses' supplication for Israel. In verses 15 to 29, Moses' indignation against Israel, and then verses 30 to 35, Moses' mediation for Israel. Now let's look together at verses 11 to 14, Moses' supplication for Israel. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. In Israel's revocation of the Lord, verses 1 to 6, we read that when Moses was in the mountain and had delayed from coming down, Israel came to Aaron and said to make them gods, or literally, make us Elohim. Now, Elohim is the title of deity for Jehovah. In chapter 20, verse 1, God said unto Israel through Moses, I am Jehovah thy Elohim. And now Israel says, make us Elohim, which shall go before us. Then they said, Moses, which led us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And these two statements, Israel actually renounced the Lord. They said that Moses led us out and make us Elohim. Well, when the Lord condemned Israel for her infidelity, the Lord said to Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. So he just responds to Israel's revocation of himself and places the responsibility of Israel upon the shoulders of Moses. Now Moses, when he beseeches the Lord in verse 11, said, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? He says, Lord, they're not my people, they're thy people. Thou didst bring them out. And of course the Lord did. He had performed his miracles in the plagues against Egypt. He had delivered Israel through the Red Sea, and he had destroyed the Egyptian armies, and he had provided for them even up to the time that they came to Mount Horeb, where they received the law and the covenant from the Lord. And now Moses says, no, Lord, they're not my people, they're thy people, and thou shouldest not wax hot against them. So he appealed to the Lord, first of all, to the work that the Lord had performed in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. They are thy people, thou didst make them thine own people, and thou didst deliver them out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. In his supplication, the second appeal was to the honor of the Lord. Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. So the honor of the Lord was at stake. His name, which represented his character, was at stake before all the nations of the world, who would know the fact that the Lord had delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And even the Egyptians then would accuse the Lord of just performing some mischief against these people, playing tricks upon them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt simply to destroy them. And, of course, this was beneath the character and dignity and honor of the Lord, who is the great God of the universe. And so, on the basis of the appeal to the honor of the Lord, Moses said, turn from thy fierce wrath. Turn away from the wrath that thou art expressing toward thy people Israel, and repent, change your mind of the evil that you have proposed to execute upon them against thy people. Moses proceeds with his supplication as he appeals in the third place to the covenant of the Lord. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. In other words, Moses here is actually refusing the proposition that the Lord made with him back in verse 10, when the Lord said, let me alone, let my anger wax hot against the children of Israel, that I may consume them. I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses says, no, that wouldn't fulfill the covenant you made with Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants. You promised them the promised land. And if you reduced this whole congregation of Israelites to destruction and began with me, this would not be in line with the covenant that thou didst make with them. You see, The Lord had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that their seed would be as innumerable as the stars of the heaven for multitude. And the land, from the going in of Hamath on the north, to the river of Egypt on the south, to the Euphrates on the east, and the Mediterranean on the west, that land God promised to give to the descendants of these three patriarchs for an eternal inheritance. And so Moses appeals then to the covenant of the Lord. So there's a threefold appeal. First, to the work of the Lord in delivering Israel from Egypt with power and with a mighty hand and making them his people. Second, he appeals to the honor of the Lord to prove that he hadn't simply brought them out there just to play tricks upon them. And third, he appealed to the covenant of the Lord to be faithful unto his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, in verse 14, we read of the result. So this appeal resulted in the repentance of the Lord. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. In other words, the Lord changed his mind, and he did so as a result of the prevailing supplication of Moses. Here we have an indication that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here was a man who stood in such relationship with God, who was willing to simply forfeit that which God would do for him if he would just leave him alone and let him destroy the people of Israel. Here was a man who pled the work and honor and covenant of the Lord for the people of Israel, and his intercession prevailed. And God changed his mind, did not destroy that people, did not begin again with Moses. What a character this man Moses was. And of course, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor. He doesn't plead a covenant. He pleads his own blood as the propitiation for our sins. And how thankful we can be that because of his intercessory work, we're not only saved from the guilt of sin, but we're also saved from the power of sin in our lives day by day. May God bless you, and may God help us to learn the lessons we need to learn from this portion of Scripture.
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.